This morning, I want to tell you a little bit about our church. Not about the building, because the building that we're in is no more our church than what we see on the outside is you. The word church means called out assembly. And so our church, if you really want to know our church, you have to get to know our people. And I'd like to just mention three things this morning about our folks. Number one, we are not perfect. If you came this morning looking to find perfection in a church, you came to the wrong place. We have all made mistakes in the past. We will all make mistakes in the future. I mentioned Wednesday night that all of us have warts. I got a lot of funny looks, but we all have things in our life that if we could change, we would change, because we know they're wrong, and we work hard at changing them. We haven't arrived at perfection. So I want to tell you, first of all, about our church, that we're not perfect. I want to tell you, second of all, about our church, that we love the Lord. God has been good to us as a church. He's been good to us as individuals. He's given us things that we don't deserve. He watches out for us day by day. He answers our prayer. One of the sweet times that we have in our church services are on Sunday night and Wednesday night, when we take some time for testimonies. If ever on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night you need to be encouraged, just come and sit in this place and hear person after person after person tell how God's been good to them even since last we've met. So we love our God. He's been awful good to us. And then number three, the thing that I want to tell you about our church, about the people of our church, is that we love you. You're our family. You're our friends. You're our neighbors. You're the ones that we work with, the ones that we go to school with. I can't tell you how much prayer has gone into preparing for this service. I can't tell you how much work has gone into preparing. And all of those prayers and all that work is because we love you. I'll be honest with you, we want you to like us. We want you to have a good time this morning, and we want you to leave this place thinking good thoughts about us. But we love you enough this morning to tell you the truth. And if that truth offends or hurts, we don't mean for it to offend or hurt, because we love you. But we love you enough to tell you the truth. We love you enough to tell you this morning that you're not perfect either. You've made some mistakes in your life. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, if you compare yourselves to one of us, you might be able to say, well, I'm just as good as him, or I do just as good as she does. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't compare yourself to another person. Compare yourself to the goodness of God. Compare yourself to the perfection of Jesus Christ. That's why that verse says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Compare yourself to perfection. And I think that if every honest person here today would have to come to the conclusion, you'd have to say, yep, preacher, you're right. There's at least one sin in my life that would cause me to agree with you that I'm not perfect. You know what the Bible says over in the book of James? The Bible says that if you offend in one point of the law, you're guilty of all. And so if I can get you to the point where you would admit, I've broken one of the Ten Commandments. And I'm not talking about thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal. There's also a Ten Commandment that says thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie. There's also a Ten Commandment, one of the Ten Commandments that says, honor your father and mother. And we teach our children that honor is to obey. And so, if I can get you to the point this morning without offending you, to realize that that you're a sinner, that there's something wrong in your life, I want to tell you that truth. I also want to tell you the truth that there's a penalty for that sin. You know, a lot of churches on a big day like this, they would preach about love. And they would tell you about a God who is love. Brother Wendell sang a couple songs about it. He is a God that loves us so much. So much that he sent Jesus to die for us. But I want to tell you something this morning, because I love you, and the person that invited you loves you also, that God of love is also a God of judgment. And the same Bible that says God is love also says the wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Now, those that have been coming for a while have heard me say this many times. When that verse says the wages of sin is death, it's not just talking about physical death where your soul is separated from your body. It's talking about spiritual death, where your soul is separated from God. And just like in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and God drove them from His presence and separated Himself from them, so because of your sin, and again, I'm not implying that anybody here this morning is a wicked person, but in God's sight, if you've just told one lie in your life, you're a sinner. If you've just one time, maybe a long time ago when you were a kid, you disobeyed your parents, that makes you a sinner. And that verse that says the wages of sin is death applies just as much to the person that's told one lie or disobeyed mom and dad one point in their life. The wages of sin is death. That applies just as much to you as those that are on death row this morning having committed heinous sin. It applies just as much to you as the person that robbed the convenience store last night. It applies just as much to you as the person that took a gun or a knife and killed somebody this past week. You see, in God's sight, because of our sin, it doesn't have any degree with Him. We're all sinners and we all stand, even though He's a God of love. And I don't want anybody to leave thinking that God isn't a God of love. He is. He loves us more than anybody can ever explain. But He's also a God of judgment. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. Which means that if that sin isn't taken care of, you'll be separated from God forever. Now, if that just happened here while we were living on earth, that'd be one thing. Although I'll tell you, I don't know how people live on this earth today without God. I don't know how you can get by in this world today without a relationship with God. But it's not just on this earth. It's forever. It's forever. You see, there's a part of you that's never going to die. That part that we can't see. We can see the outside. You've made it look nice today. I'm talking about the part on the inside, your soul. That part of you is going to live forever and ever. There's only one of two places it can live. It can live in heaven with God, who by the way, made you for that purpose. Do you know that God made every single one of you in this room this morning? He made you for the purpose of going to heaven and living with Him forever. That's one place. The only other place that an eternal soul lives is the place that God did not make for man, the place that God made for Satan and all his demons, that place called hell. And you only have one of two choices. There's only one of two places that your eternal soul will live. Either in heaven with God, who made you for that purpose to live with Him, or in hell with Satan, where God did not design for you to live. But one of those two places, your eternal soul, it's going to live forever. Now again, a lot of churches, when they have a special day, they wouldn't mention hell at all. But I want to tell you this morning, because we love you, hell is real. It's a place of fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place of the bottomless pit. And it wasn't designed for you. God does not want you to go there. God's desire is that no human being ever go to hell. But sin separates you from God. And if you die in your sin, your eternal destiny is that place where the devil lives. If you die in your sin, you see, you could pay for your sin yourself. You could pay for your sin yourself. I mean, you have that choice. You don't pay for your sin with good works. You don't pay for it by joining the church. You don't pay for it by getting baptized, or you don't pay for it by living a good, clean, decent life. The only way that you can pay for your sin is to do what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. The only way that you can pay for your sin is to die and go to hell and live forever. That's your choice. You can do that if you want. But because we love you, I got some good news to tell you this morning. Somebody paid the price of your sin for you. You see, that's the other choice. You either pay for it yourself or somebody pays for it for you. If we could get, you say, I don't want to pay for my sin by dying and going to hell. All right, then we need to find somebody who has no sin of their own, who would be willing to take your sin upon themselves, be willing to die for your sins, and be willing to go to hell and live with Satan and pay for your sins. That's the alternative. Don't want to do it yourself. That's good. That proves that you're wise. I got some good news for you this morning. Somebody did exactly what I was saying. Somebody took my sin and somebody took your sin and took it on himself. And he had, by the way, he had no sin of his own. He was perfect, the only perfect person that's ever lived on the face of this earth. He had no sin that he had to pay for. That qualified him to take my sin and to take your sin and to go to the cross and to suffer our hell for us, dying on that cross, paying our sin debt. That person was the Lord Jesus Christ. That person that loved every single person in this room enough to say, I'll take your sin, and 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 I'll take it on myself, and I'll go to Calvary, and I'll pay the price of that sin so that you don't have to pay for it yourself. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that if you'll let him, Jesus will take all your sin, wipe it off of your record, and put on your record his righteousness, so that you can stand before your God just as if you've never sinned. You can stand before your God, perfect. Now, we love you enough to tell you the truth that you are a sinner. We love you enough to tell you the truth that there's a penalty for that sin. We love you enough to tell you that somebody paid the penalty for that sin. And that if you'll ask him, he'll take all your sin away, make you right with God, and fit you for heaven. Now, we love you enough to ask to do one more thing this morning. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot. And I don't want to offend anybody. But we do this out of love. I love you enough, and we as a church love you enough this morning, that we're going to ask you to do exactly that. I'm not going to preach about Jesus and then let you go without asking you that have never received Christ as your Savior to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve that. But I believe the Bible when it says that you came and you died for my sin. And I'm going to trust you this morning to take away my sin and make me right with my God. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, we're going to ask you to make a decision this morning. We're going to ask you to decide for Christ. We're going to ask you to say yes. You have the option of saying no, but you can't ride the fence. You got to say one thing or the other. You got to say, yes, Jesus, I'm trusting you, or you got to say, no, I'm not. And we love you enough to put you and to ask you that question. And then finally, we love you enough this morning to tell you that if you've already asked Jesus to be your Savior, why don't you live for it? Why don't you live for it? If you're already a Christian, if you've already asked Jesus to be your Savior, he's forgiven your sins, why don't you live for it? Why don't you start today by getting baptized? Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. He's in heaven with Jesus today. But you that are here today and you've been saved and never baptized, I want to invite you to come this morning for baptism. You say, Brother Darrell, what does baptism have to do with salvation? It has nothing to do with salvation. getting baptized is being obedient to Jesus, and it's identifying with Him. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you men, if you ask somebody to marry you and you got married, and the girl, your bride, your wife, wouldn't change her name, wouldn't wear your ring, and did not want to be identified with you as her husband, how many of you men would be happy? Anybody that's married? I mean, if your wife started out by saying, "I'm not," and I know some ladies today don't take their husband's name, but if she wouldn't wear your ring, and if she wouldn't be introduced as your wife, would you be happy? And ladies, what about if your husbands said, "She will catch up to you as their wife"? In fact, what about if your husbands, after you got married, sort of left you at your mom and dad's house? I mean, maybe they came and visited you every now and then, but they never took you home. They never made you there. They never identified with you being your wife. Would you be happy? I think not. Let me be real plain with you this morning. That's exactly what we do when we get saved and we don't get baptized. We've made the commitment to Jesus, and we've accepted what He's done for us, but we don't identify with Him. And this morning, I know there's people in this room, in every section, you've been saved, you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you've never followed Him in baptism. I'm going to ask you this morning to do that. Say, "I didn't come prepared to get baptized." We got everything you need. You don't need anything. We got something for you to wear. We got a towel for you to dry with. We got everything that you need. And I'm wondering this morning if there's Christians that are here that have never been baptized that would say, "I'm going to step out for Christ. I'm going to identify with Him. I'm going to follow Him in baptism this morning and be baptized." We love you enough to ask you to do that. Say, "Oh, Brother Darryl, you're putting me on the spot." You got it. I'm putting you right on the spot. I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you're a Christian, then stand up for Jesus. If you're a Christian, you ought to get in the church. You ought to go every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you're a Christian, if you've received Christ, I mean, being a Christian, not going to church, is like being a part of a family and not having anything to do with your brothers and sisters. Never having any contact. And this morning, we love you enough to tell you, if you're a Christian, and I'm not asking you to come to this church, although we'd love to have you, you go to the church where God leads you. If you're a Christian, you get into a church and you go. If you're a Christian, you get a Bible and you read that Bible and you pray. That's like eating. I mean, that's like eating every day. You can't get by without eating. You can't get by as a Christian without reading your Bible and praying. And then we'd love you enough to tell you, if you're a Christian, you ought to be telling somebody about Jesus. You ought to be sharing what Jesus has done for you. And we love you enough this morning to call every Christian that's in this room to action. And I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Don't just be a half-hearted Christian. Don't just have your big toe in that tank of salvation. Get in all the way. Enjoy it. That's what God wants for every single person that knows Jesus as their Savior. He wants you to enjoy the Christian life. You can't enjoy it without getting baptized. You can't enjoy it without reading the Bible. You can't enjoy it without coming to church. You can't enjoy it without telling somebody about Jesus. People this morning that know Christ ought to step up for Him and say, "I'm going to be identified with the one who went to the cross and died for me. I'm going to identify to my friends, to the world, to anybody who cares to notice, I'm on His side. I'm on His team. He's the captain of my salvation. And I'm going to serve Him regardless of what the world says." And this morning, I'm asking you that have been saved but never been baptized, to come and follow Him in baptism. This morning, I'm asking those of you who have never asked Jesus to be your Savior to come and ask Him to be your Savior and let Him take you to heaven. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer. Dick and Chris are going to come get ready for the invitation. In the quietness of the next few moments, would you let the Holy Spirit speak to you? Holy Spirit, I pray now that You'd speak to those hearts of people that are here today that have never received Christ as their Savior. This morning, would you help them see that they are a sinner and that sin separates them from you and will forever. And I pray this morning that you would just speak to them. Help them to see the love that Jesus had when he went to Calvary's cross. And help them this morning to decide, I will let Jesus pay for my sin. I will accept what he did for me on Calvary to make me right with my God. Every section, every head bowed, every eye closed, but in every section in the auditorium, there's people here that need to do that. You know who we are. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. You know who we are. And I wonder if you would come. Just a moment, I'm going to have you stand. We're going to sing Just As I Am without one plea. And I want you to come down every aisle. We'll meet you here at the front. We'll take the Bible from the Bible and show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Don't care how old you are. You could be a little child. You could be an adult. Salvation is open to every single person. Please don't leave this place without knowing Jesus as your Savior. And then, Father, I pray for the Christians that are here that need to take a stand for you. Some here this morning need to come for baptism. And I know, Father, that what I'm asking them to do is hard. They didn't come prepared. They didn't come ready to do it. They could still decide to do it this morning. They could take a stand and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to identify with Christ. I'm going to follow him in baptism. And I pray in every section of this auditorium, there would be Christians who would take that step of obedience and follow Jesus in baptism. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit, Holy Spirit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. In his name we pray.